The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
The direction he is going. Because instead of ascending towards higher levels of what's generally understood to be spirituality and transcendence, he seems to be actually descending into materialism, imperialism, right? Politics, economics, war, right? Everything a nice spiritual person would like to be involved in. And yet the truth is his very descent is his ascent into a true state of transcendence, because real transcendence is inclusion. A person who is truly transcendent is not a person who succeeds in escaping the world by remaining on a mountain, but could simultaneously be in the thick of Manhattan business, yet still maintain their cool in it and above it at the same time. If the only way you can transcend the world is by escaping it, it means you and the world are in conflict. And that means you still belong to the same order of things, because how do you conflict? White doesn't transcend black. They're opposites. And you don't transcend the world if the only way to do it is to run away from it. Transcending the world is the ability to be in it and out of it at the same time. This itself is the character of divine transcendence. Transcendence, capital T, means that the divine is completely beyond the world and yet within the world and yet still beyond the world. Right? Yes, granted, that's a paradox. We can't help but do that again. But that's what we're left with. That our language is insufficient in completely portraying reality as it truly is. Okay. So Abraham comes out of a war. This man that is the archetype of chesed, of kindness, is being put into situations that is forcing his kindness into an integration with justice and judgment. And after the scene of that great war, he comes out a warrior. He is a little bit down. And the Bible demonstrates his fall because of his particular encounter with God as a vision, a word and vision, rather than a direct encounter. And now we see Abraham in a completely different position. All of a sudden, Abraham, the man who asks no questions, go to a land that I will show you, just goes. All of a sudden, now Abraham is saying, God says to Abraham, don't worry, Abraham, your reward will be great. And Abraham says, what will you give me? An amazing thing. But this is crucial in the theme of what's going on, because the theme is the evolving relationship between the human and the divine. And a relationship means there is a sense of self. And because Judaism believes that there exists a relationship between God and man, not simply an experience that man could have of God, but a relationship, that means that what God wants out of man is to go to yourself. To evolve into a unique individual that stands in relationship to God. Right? And this is a step forward. Abraham is saying, what will you give me? Abraham says, I want a biological child. He's becoming more and more particular. Because it's only in the uniqueness of your particular identity can you enter into relationships. Very often people think, how do you enter relationships? You must forfeit your identity. You must forfeit your particular character. Because character conflicts with relationships. It's the opposite. What's a relationship? It's not between a you and a me. In terms of who I am and who you are. And this is what, in fact, is the process that God is putting Abraham through. Cultivating Abraham into becoming a unique human being that is materially consistent in this world. Okay. So then, God says, well, get out of your astrology, look down at the stars, right? You will have a child. Right? You will have a child. And it's here that the Talmud learns in Tractate Shabbat that the Jews don't have mazal, meaning that they're beyond the astrological fatalism, in that if God wants you to have a child, it doesn't matter what it says in the stories, you can still have a child. Okay? And it says, and Abraham believed in God, and he considered it a tzedaka. Right? What could I, in any way, do to deserve a child? Right? What, I deserve to have a child? Right? It's silly. You know, it's very, very silly. It's the gift of God. But then in the next scene, and now we're in chapter 15, sentence 7. God then says to Abraham, I have taken you out of Kazdim to give to you this land in order to inherit it. And he says, Adonai Elohim. This is very important because this is the first time that Abraham is using the name of God and the name we can hear. I mean, maybe we might have before used names of God, but never recorded in the Bible. So we see that, this is interesting. Right? Abraham is referring to God as a Hashem Elohim. And the Talmud says, in Tractate Brachot, that until Abraham came along, there was no one who called to God, Master. Right? Master. You know what's so special about that? Something's developing in a sense of relation. He says, and how will I know? Bima, in what? Through what? Will I know that I will inherit it? Now, Abraham, shouldn't you have learned by now not to ask those kinds of questions? I mean, you just asked. You know, what are you going to give me, a child? And God says, oh, get out of your astrology. And then God says, and I took you out of Kazdim to give you this land to inherit it. And what does Abraham say? How do I know I will inherit it? Is this Abraham? I mean, how many times do you need to be promised? He starts off with an encounter. God says to him, I'm going to take you a land that I will show you. And then when he gets there, he hears the voice of God and says, this is the land I'm going to give to your children. And then a little later, God says to him, this is the land that I'm going to give to your children and I'm going to give to you. Right? I mean, how many times? Basically three promises. Right? Well, I'll show you. Okay. I mean, he's been developed to this point. And now God says to him, and I took you out of Kazdim to give you this land in order to inherit it. And Abram's saying, how do I know I'll inherit it? What kind of question is it? Is Abraham doubting the promises of God? And so what does God say to him? God says, take for me, and it's difficult to reading, it could be three calves and three sheep and three lambs and a turtle dove and a, these various birds. And he took them. We are looking at verses 9 and 10, I'm paraphrasing. And he took them, and he split them in half, and he put one across from the other, but the bird he did not split. And this eagle, or this vulture, comes upon the dead carcasses, and Abraham shoos it away. And then the sun came, and a sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, threatened darkness, great darkness, falls upon him. And God says to Abraham, know, you shall know that a stranger shall be your children in a strange land, and those people will put them in servitude, oppress them for 400 years. And also the nation that caused them to serve, I will judge. But afterwards, your people, your children will come out with a great spoil. And you will go to your fathers in peace and be buried in a good time. And the fourth generation will return, because only until that time will the sins and the transgression of Emori who live in this land will run its path and its course, meaning at that point you can come back. And the sun came and a torch came, and behold, there is this torch, and it's going through a fire, and it's going through these carcasses. In other words, he took the carcasses, right, this animal, split them in half, and then he sees this torch go through the carcasses. This is his vision. And we'll have to deal with the commentaries and how they deal with this. And on that day, God established a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your seed I have given the land from the river of Egypt to the great river of Parat, right? And the Cainy, and the Knezi, and the Kadmoni, and the Chiti, and the Prizi, the Amori, and everyone, and all those nations will be given in your hand. You will take the land. Shouldn't have asked the question, Abraham. What happens over here? Right? That's very strange. What is Abram asking? What is God's answering? There is some approach that, well, he went too far. Abram just asked too many questions. But is this some kind of punishment? Your seed will go to Egypt because you asked too many questions? Right? I mean, what is this? So, the Midrash, the oral tradition, mysticism, and everybody goes to town with this piece. I mean, it's just, we could go on for a month talking about the various layers of depth that when you peel it off, but just on a simpler level. What's new over here? Something is new. Something that was not told to Abraham until now. Abraham asked the question, and we're saying, what, Abraham, now you ask questions? I mean, this has been told to you before, you didn't ask questions then. What has happened to Abram that he's asking questions? Because what he just heard is something very different than what he's ever heard before. What was he first told? I'm going to take you a land that I'll show you. Then he was told, this land I'm going to give to your children. Then he was told, I'm going to give this land to your children and to you and get up and acquire it. Now he's told something new. Exactly. That he'll inherit it. That he never heard before. I will give it to you, and I will give it to your children. What does it mean to inherit the land? What does it mean to inherit the land? Well, more than that, I give it to you, but what does it mean to inherit land? That it becomes an inheritance for you. What is an inheritance? It means you acquire it. For the entire future. That you're able to acquire it in such a way that it's automatically your children's. Now that's a new one. To first say, I'm going to show it to you. To then say, I'm going to give it to your children. I'm going to give it to your children. Then say, I'm going to give it to your children. I'm going to give it to you. But to say, you know what? I'm going to give it to you as an inheritance. You're going to effectualize an acquisition which will already bind the future children to this land. Now this Abram never heard before. He never heard such a thing. How could I, an individual, acquire land for Jews that don't even exist yet? How could I effectualize such an incredible connection to this land. A connection that will be automatically, genetically, spiritually, physically, genetically, passed on into the children. How could I do that? Because what's God's answer? How will I know that I will inherit the land? Did he get an answer? Did it say anything? Well, you know, well, your children will be slaves and they're going to come back. That's an answer that I'm going to inherit the land? How will I know I inherit the land? God says, well, because they're going to go into slavery and then they're going to come back. That's the answer. Now you're happy? What kind of answer? I mean, it's the same thing. I'm going to give you the land. Now everyone's saying, how will I know I'll give the land? What was the answer? I'm going to give you the land. I mean, that's an answer? Where's the answer in what God said to him? So look at this. It says, take for me a calf, sheep, lambs, birds. Now the oral tradition says these are all symbols of the various nations that are going to come and take over the land of Israel. Babylon, Persia, Greek, Romans. And in this little section is actually hinted the entire future of the Jewish people. The story of exiles. And the little bird at the end that's not split in half, that's the Jewish people. God says, split them in half. And the oral tradition shows how each and every one of these animals actually hint to the various kinds of nations that were going to take us over. And then, all of a sudden, sun sets, some kind of darkness is coming, and this sleep falls on Abraham. And behold, look at sentence 12. Behold, frightening. So the Ramban teaches that this is referring to Babylon. Chashecha, great. This is referring to Persia. Right? What we call Madai, Macedonians. Gedola, referring to the Greeks. Nophelet, falling on him, is referring to the Romans. Right? Upon Abraham. The Ramban says that God said, okay, Abraham, how will I know that I can inherit this land? How could I effectualize an acquisition of land for people whose connection with the land is much greater than mine? People who were thrown off that land. People who were exiled, and in that exile, dreaming and yearning to get back to the land of Israel. People who through their own sweat and blood, their own suffering, pain, they experience what it means to be ripped off from this land. How could I acquire this land for them? Can you imagine the connection those people have to the land of Israel after living, struggling, fighting for it, being thrown off and yearning and praying to get back to it as they are pressed under the hands of strange nations and strange lands, knowing what it means to be a stranger. So God said, okay, Abraham, get ready, because I am going to put you through the entire suffering of the exile of the Jewish people right now. The Ramban says that, in fact, Abraham experienced the entire exile that moment. And then he was able to inherit the land for all those people. Abraham, not just an individual, but the collective, the root of the entire people, experienced all the suffering. Abraham was taken through in some dream state sense. He experienced every era of Jewish suffering as Jews dreamed and prayed to get back to their land, to once again build their own state. And look what happens. Look at this incredible piece over here. Sentence 13. And God said to Abraham, know, you shall know, that a stranger in a strange land will your children be, but you will come back. And go to sentence 18, verse 18. And on that day, God established a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your seed I have given the land. Now the oral tradition points out, and Yerushalmi, this is from the Talmud Yerushalmi, I have already given you the land. It's in the past tense. Right. To your city, to your seed, I have already given the land. They don't even exist. They existed in Abraham, and that's how he inherited the land. In other words, in some very mysterious way, when a Jew comes to the land of Israel, he feels it's his. It's hers. It's an amazing connection. You know, I wanted to come to Israel, and I don't know where I was going. You know, they told me falafel, Western Wall, and I didn't know where I was going. But I said, I'm going to stay there for at least a year and a half. And everyone said to me, how do you know? Well, you'll get there, you won't like it. And I said, I don't know why. I've never even been there. And I'm not of Zionist parents. My parents never talked about the land of Israel. They're not at all Zionistic types. And I don't know why. I just knew that when I get there, I'm going to feel some deep connection to that place. I didn't even know why. And yet I got here. And what did I meet? I met this taxi driver, tried to rip me off. Right, takes all my baggage and throws it and lands on the other side of the car as it breaks all the stereos I was smuggling in to sell in black market. Right, and then, you know, and then I get in this cab and some guy squeezes us in like sardines and somebody starts smoking, so where are you from? You know, my face. And we're driving along the Tel Aviv road and I look at the terrain. This is the land of Israel. And there are rocks and rocks and rocks. Right? And then I get in, and I see these egged buses with this pollution coming out of the backside. You know, and this taxi driver, because he didn't know where I wanted to go and I couldn't speak, so he said, this is a good place to stop. And he dumped me in the middle of Jaffa Street. I still remember the exact place. It wasn't even a corner. It was right in the middle of Jaffa Street, and I didn't know where I am. Oh, and he says, you'll find your people are friendly around here, you know? And I went around there, Shlicha, Ani Rotsela, La, Efo, Ani, I want to go to La. I don't know where I was going. You know, I was frightened. I was just dumped in the middle of nowhere. Right. And I said, this is the land of Israel? But for some reason, it still felt like home. I'd lived my whole life in Toronto. I know the streets like the back of my hand. And here I come to a strange land. I don't know why. I feel some connection to this place. Right? I've traveled before. I never felt any connection to this place. And I look around, and they don't even look like Jews that live in this place. They look like Puerto Ricans. They look like Italians. They look like Greeks. There's some women that look like Swedish women. And yet they're all Jews. Right? In Toronto, you could tell a Jew is a Jew, you know? But for some reason over here, you know, they're Indian Jews and Swedish Jews and Scottish Jews. And I don't know why. Right. I don't know why. I felt some weird connection. Well, here it is. Abram said, how will I know that I could inherit it? How could I inherit it? I mean, you'll give it to me, you'll give it to my children. But you mean to tell me that I could effectualize a connection to this land for every single Jew that will be born on earth? How? Could I effectualize the inheritance for those Jews that were brutally ripped out of the land of Israel by the Babylonians? Who knows what it means to be thrown off of their land? Praying and hoping to come back? I could do that? How could I do that? He wasn't doubting God. You're like, you know, is this going to happen? He was doubting himself. How could I do that? If you tell me you'll give me the land, it's one thing. But to tell me that I will acquire it in such a mode that will make it an acquisition for eternity for every Jew, and when a Jew comes here, if they open and they listen to their heart and their soul, they'll say, my land, my land, I'm going to do that. So God said, yeah, all right. If you need a little, you know, course in exile, all right, here we go. And you know, he went into the state where he experienced the suffering of 2,000 years of exile. Right? 2,000 years of exile. And he probably heard the joyous cry when they announced on the news a declaration of independence. Right? And he understood at that moment already, right, how all Jews' hearts beat in complete synchrony with the vision of something that they could never have dreamed. Hatikva. Who would have ever believed it? Who would have ever believed it? Right? And he did that. Right? That's what the Rambam is suggesting over here in a deep way. That all these mystical experiences of all these nations that are going to come, and this bird will still fly into freedom. And then the final line, and to your children I have already given the land. The land of Israel was ours before we even got here, because Abraham acquired it for us. We don't have to acquire it anymore. It's already acquired. It's our inheritance. It's already ours. And this is what happened at this point. Okay. Any questions on that? We see over here that God has effectualized a covenant with Abraham. Now the next scene is a scene where Sarah is not having children, and so she takes her maidservant and says, let her be in my place, and maybe through her I will be built. And in fact, Abraham has relations with the maidservant, and she gives birth to a son named Ishmael, who is the father of the Arab people.
I don't know, it just seems weird.